Father, again, we just, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the banquet that you have laid before us, Lord, that the banner over us is love this morning. Lord, that you love your children, and Lord, you've given unto us a great inheritance that we would occupy it. Father, you've given us so much grace and mercy, Lord, in salvation. Lord, you've encouraged us and empowered us with the life of your resurrected Son to worship you. And we just lift our hearts to you, continue to lift our hearts to you, our resurrected lives to you, that inner man who once was dead. Lord, you've made him alive, and in your Son that we are seated together with him in heavenly places this morning. Because of that great resurrection, because of the incoming of your Spirit that has infused us with the life of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this great miracle, Lord, and we relish in it, Lord. We feast on it. We thank you that he is the living water, that he is the living bread, that he is that meat that we have, which others know nothing of. We thank you for these wonderful things today, Father, and just ask that you would lead through the rest of this service now, Lord, and for your glory's sake, Lord, amen. Amen. I'm not going to to the Revelation, and I'm going to go someplace else, and I'm kind of in a hurry because I've got four parts to this. So I'm kind of glad the way the Lord prompts through the week, and I knew today would be different, and I'm going to keep it somewhat different than what we normally do. It says in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 12, that we being many are still one. All kinds of different people. You know, not all of us are an ear or a nose or a foot or a hand. Not all of us are 70 and not all of us are 7 weeks old. We're all in between. We all have warts, and some of us have more than others. We all have things, but we being many are one body. And that body is the body of Christ. And that's what we are. Praise his name. We are the eternal body of Christ. We are the bride of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So this morning, I want, first of all, everyone in the room who is between the ages, well, under 10, okay? Everybody who's under 10. Dawn, you, that's not you yet. Okay. Everybody under 10, if the kids need help coming up, everybody up here who's under 10, okay? And I'm going to read to you, okay? Come on all the way up here. Let's come right up here, okay? You guys stand right here, just like this, facing moms and dads and uncles and aunts and whatever. We don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, maybe face me a little bit. Turn this way so you can face me, because I'm going to read to you, and then I got a question for you. Okay, and then we're going to pray for them. All right, I'm going to turn to Mark's Gospel. Okay, is that in the New Testament or the Old Testament?
No.
Okay, good, good. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. So Mark chapter 10. We're going to read this story, all right? And then I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to read in verse 13, okay? Can you hear me okay? All right. And the parents brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. What do you think that means? Why would Jesus, now raise your hand if you think you have the answer, why would Jesus want to touch children? Titus was first up. Why? Okay. Okay, they might be sick or something and need healing. That's good. Naomi? He loves them. Oh, he loves them. Okay, let's hang on to that thought. So, he told them to come up because he wanted to touch them. But the disciples rebuked the parents, say, no, no, don't do that. Jesus is far too busy for this. But when Jesus saw that happening, he was very much displeased, and he said unto them, let the little children come to me. Why do you think that? Jesus said, when the disciples said, no, the children are, he's too busy for children. But Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me. Imagine that. Jesus, God, the Savior, said, I want the children to come to me. Why would he say that, do you think? Who has an answer? What do you think? Yeah, he loved them. Yeah, that's right, because Jesus loved them. So this is our lesson, okay, this morning. Number one, Jesus loves who?
God.
He does. That's good. Who? Jesus loves who? Caleb? Yes, he loves children. Okay, number one, tell me what it is. Say it all together. Jesus loves children. Yes, he loves children. Say, Jesus loves children.
Jesus loves children.
Are you a children?
Yes.
All right, okay. And then the second question, all right. He said to them one other thing, and I'll read it to you. He said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So what does Jesus say? He says he loves you, and then what are you supposed to do? There's always two parts with God. He loves you. He puts his love upon you. He loves the young children. And what do we respond with? Who can answer what we respond with? Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read this again. All right. Let the little children come unto me. So what are we to do? Let the little children come unto me. What should we do then? Come. That's right. Jesus says, I love you. He doesn't want you to stand over there. Okay? He's not over there. He says, I love you, so come to me. So that's what you get to do with our hearts, with our emotions, with our thoughts, with our worries, everything. We come to Jesus because he loves you. He said, so will you come to me? So will you come to him? Will you come to him? Good. All right, let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Let's all hold hands here, okay? We're going to pray. Come right in. Don't be shy. All right, let's pray. It's okay. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you love children and that we are to be like these children, Lord, just believing you and not worried about so many things, Lord, but just simple enough to believe you, that you are all-powerful and that you love us. And Lord, I ask that you would put in the heart of these children that they would come to you. Lord, come to you in such a way that there would be a receiving of all that you have for them. So, Lord, draw them unto yourself, Lord, and just let the children remember that they can come to Jesus because you love them. Amen. Okay, now you can go. Thank you. You got to remember those two things now. Jesus loves you and that you should come to him. Okay, now I got another group, okay? Everybody, let's see what I wrote down here so I get the right ages. Everybody between 10 and 18. Everybody between 10 and 18, would you come up, please? And guess what? If you haven't been called yet, it's coming. Come right up here and then kind of face me because we got another story. And these things that we read, they're not just for this group. They're for all of us. So find things in these scriptures that you can glean and challenge yourself with. So this, I've got some verses to read to you guys. All right? I might not have questions because they'd be pretty hard. Maybe. Okay, here we go. I'm reading from John chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 through 13. Does anybody know what's in John 6 before I start? Okay, we're going to find out. All right? Starting in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company of people coming unto him. He said to Philip, where should we buy bread that we can feed all these people, that they might eat? And this he said, Jesus said this, just to prove the disciples, to test them, to see how they were thinking. Jesus sometimes tests us to see how we're thinking. For he himself knew what he would do. So Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not even sufficient for them. What that is, 200 pennyworth is 200 days' wages. So if you work for 200 days, he said, there's so many people here. There's so many here that even if I had 200 days worth of wages, we wouldn't be able to buy enough bread to feed them. What are we going to do? That would take a lot of bread. How much money mom or dad make in 200 days? That's almost 8 months, 7.5 months of laboring. I don't know what that is, but Jesus said if we took the money that your mom would make or your dad would make or whoever would make, took 200 days worth of those wages and went and bought all the bread we could, it wouldn't be enough to feed them. They got a problem, don't they? How's they going to fix the problem? There is a problem. He said, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it's not sufficient to feed every one of them, even just a little bit. They all wouldn't even get a little bit. There was thousands of people there, thousands. So one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a young man or a young girl. We can, it's whatever. But here, there is a young lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So I'm thinking, this young fella, you know, like Mason, he is following Jesus. And he's a really a smart kid. Or like Dawson, or, you know, any of it. He's really smart because, first of all, he's following Jesus. There's maybe 20,000 people there, but this kid is so smart, he's close enough, he's right up in the front. He's not hiding in the back. He's right up in the front because the disciples found him. They turned and said, I mean, there's thousands of people there. How do they know who had what? But this one boy, he's got 2 fishes and 5 loaves. They've spotted him right away because he was in the front. So stay in the front with Jesus. Stick close to Jesus. That's the first lesson. Stick close to Jesus. He also must have had a smart mother because I don't think that boy made those loaves, do you? Or those little fishes. She said, hey, I'm preparing you for a whole day out with Jesus. I'm preparing you for this. Take this with you because you're going to need it. Listen to what moms and dads are telling you at home because you're going to need it later on. Obey mother and dad. So that's the second lesson. Obey mother and dad. So they took these 2 loaves. They said, well, what are two fishes and 5 loaves? What are they? Jesus said, make them sit down on the grass in groups of 50. He took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples and to them that were set down, and the fishes likewise, and they had all eaten. And when they were all filled, somehow they were all filled. When they were all done, Jesus said there was 12 baskets left. Now here's the lesson that we have, a couple things. One, stick close to Jesus. Be where he is and be close to him. Obey mom and dad. And this is the other thing. Don't think that you're too young to make a difference. Okay? Don't think that you're too young. This little boy saved the day. He gave what he has. So don't think that, well, I'm not as wise as my sister or my brother, that they're much better than me or somebody else in my class. Don't think that way. Give what you have to Jesus. Because what did he do with it? The little boy gave his things to Jesus. What did Jesus do with them? Remember in the story? That's right. He took it. He took it from it. So first of all, when you come to Jesus, he receives you. He takes what you give him and he blesses it. And it's enough to multiply and to bless thousands. That little boy could look out on a field of 20,000 people and say, look at them. They're all eating because I fed them. He really didn't. Jesus did it. But if he hadn't given those loaves and those fishes, he could say, look at that. I've supplied food for everybody here. So never think because you're young that you're not important or that Jesus doesn't have something for you to do. Okay? Can you remember those things? Stay close to Jesus right in the front. Give him everything. My little word there is to surrender everything to Jesus every day. And never think that what you have isn't important or that Jesus doesn't see you. There's 20,000 people there, but this one boy was spotted. Jesus sees you and he loves you. Okay? Let's pray. All right, let's hold hands and we'll pray. Father, we thank you again for these young lives, Lord. We ask that you would sink deep within their hearts how precious they are to you. Lord, that you want them to stick close to you like this young boy did. He was right up front with you and you see him there. You accepted what he offered. Lord, you will accept these young ones as they offer themselves to you. You will take them up in your hands and you will bless them. Lord, and you will multiply their lives that they could bless thousands. We pray this for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Didn't even hurt, did it? Much. But now the next group. Now we have another breakdown. This is from 19 to 49. 19 to 49. It's a big group. 19 to 49. Okay, so I'm going back to the book of Mark, right after what we read to the first group, Mark chapter 10. Okay, I'm going to read this. I got to switch gears now. I'm at a little bit older group. What? Yeah. Okay. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" I want us to notice some things there. This young man, in Matthew's gospel, it calls him a young man. He is eager, all right? He's eager for Jesus. He is hungry for Jesus. He is serious about the Lord. He kneels down before him, and he asks him this question. So we have a young man filled with energy, emotion, probably a lot of respect for himself, hasn't learned some things through the bumps that we go through in life, but he is hungry for the Lord. He is eager. He is running, and he's running to the Lord. And so he runs up to him, he says, and notice this question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so the story goes on. Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? For there is no one that is good but God." And just so we all understand, I know we do, Jesus did not say that he wasn't God. He said, "Why are you calling me good? If you're going to call me good, you've got to recognize that I am God, because there's nobody who is good but God alone. So if you want to call me good, you must acknowledge that I am God." This is what he's saying. And that nobody is good enough to earn heaven. So Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud someone. And honor your father and mother." And the young man said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." He's still got that driving energy. He's thinking, "Man, I can do this thing. I can find Jesus and I can get eternal life. I can still do it." He calls him master, and he said, "And I've done everything that you've commanded so far. I've obeyed all those outward laws." So morally, this guy is good. He's energetic. He's ambitious. He's chasing after Jesus. He recognizes him as master, and he's looking for eternal life. This is what he's after. I mean, it don't get better than that. All of his youthful strength and zeal that he has in our youth that you have to, what am I going to do with it? And so that's where he leaves it. And then Jesus says to him, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him just as he was. He loved him. Just like he loved the little children. He loved him. He came and he saw, he knows who he knows this man, but he loves him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, "Yet one thing you are lacking." And in fact, if we read Matthew's account, this is how it goes. He said, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And then Jesus gives him the commandment, and the fellow says, "I have done this ever since my youth. What am I still lacking?" He knew that within himself, though he was young, though he was wealthy, though he had power, because he was a ruler, he had authority over people, he had all his energy, he had kept the commandments, he was morally right, and he said, "I'm still dead. I am still not right with God. Something's wrong. I still do not have eternal life." He was an honest man. And so Jesus said to him, "Yet one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell all that you have. Give it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." This is what we do with energy. This is what we do with youthful ambition. This is what we're to do with it. This man wanted one foot in one world and one foot in another. He wanted one foot where he could be the ruler and in charge. He was wealthy. He wanted to keep it that way, but he also wanted eternal life. So Jesus said, "This is how you're going to get it. You're going to have to jettison something. You know, your ship's going down eventually. You're going to have to get rid of something, or you're not going to make it." So he says, "Go and sell all that you have, give unto the poor, and come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me." And it says then, the last verse, "And he was very sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And here's the danger of this age group, is the possession of things that will never satisfy. Never satisfy. This man was morally right. He was ambitious. He had energy. He pursued, but yet he acknowledged, I'm lacking something. So Jesus tells him to go sell everything he has. Now, that doesn't mean literally that you guys got to go sell everything you have. But in your heart, you do. You sell everything for Jesus. You surrender 100%. My heading here is absolute obedience to Christ. Sell all that you have. Come and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Come and be my disciple. So it's a great challenge, isn't it? But you're at that age group. You got all this energy. Some of them are just starting in your kind of adult life. Some of them are near the next group that we're going to, kind of. But still energetic. This is the challenge. This is the challenge. Don't keep a foot in each world. Sell out for Jesus and let him see what he does with you. So there's my challenge for you guys. Amen. Thank you. All right. Now we got one group left. 50 and older. 50 and older. If you can make it up. Yeah, I think so. Everyone else had to. You know what? We didn't pray for that group. So we got to pray for that group. Yeah. I guess we'll have to pray for you where you're at, okay? But let's pray for them. And again, if somebody else has a word for them, you do it as well. We'll pray for this group. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the zeal of youth. Lord, for the strength of youth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of youth. Lord, the dreams and the ambitions. Lord, but we pray, Father, that for this group, that you would be their all in all, that they would follow Matthew 6:33, that they would seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all these other things would be added onto them, that they would not be like the rich young ruler, Lord, who wasn't willing to give up everything. And the apostle said to Jesus, well, then who can be saved? And he said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Lord, would you just bless this group today, Lord, in this week, Lord, as they consider how they can follow you, sell all that they have and all that they are to find you, because you are eternal life. You're not a thing. Eternal life isn't something. It is a being. It is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You are eternal life. Find a way that they can sell all to find you in a deeper measure, Lord. Settle this upon their hearts, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Do I have to speak up now for this group? This is a good sized group too. Big group. Anyway, we're going into Joshua. Okay? Chapter 14. And this really challenges me, because we're going to look at Caleb. Oh, so you know where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
Caleb. Okay, Joshua 14. I think I'll start in verse 6. Where it talks about their inheritance. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God. Isn't that wonderful? When we die, wouldn't you like to be known as the man of God, the woman of God? I mean, that's just a little bit extra. And Moses, the man of God, not, whoever, whatever our titles might be, but to be called the man, the woman of God, not Tom the farmer, Tom the man of God, or whatever we are. Anyway, that's wonderful. That you spoke unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and yourself in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And remember, spying wasn't supposed to be an eternal thing. They were supposed to spy the land and go in and take it. And originally, they weren't even supposed to spy it out. They were just supposed to go in and take it. They were never to live along the borders. We're never to live along the borders of our inheritance. We are to go in and take all that God has for us. That's what he wants us to do. And I brought I brought unto Moses word again as how it was in my heart. Notice that this is what's in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. This is Caleb's secret. That phrase, it's used about his life 6 times. I have wholly followed the Lord. 6 times it's used on his life. I have wholly followed the Lord. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord thy God. Every place that his foot went. Listen, it's important how we live. Because that's our possession. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, it shall be yours. And I'm thinking of all that God has for us, that we put our feet and we capture that which God has died to give us. All of our inheritance. And not only that, it says it'll bless your children. If you have children, it'll bless your children. You might think, well, it's too late. They're growing up and they've gone away. It's never too late. Because it's not about just you and your children. It's about God who sees you and sees your children and responds to our life sometimes. So it's not too late for children who have moved away. How I live is still important. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. I know, you know, some of us here are only 40 or 50 maybe, but some are older than 50. But he's kept us alive. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Notice that. He said, I've had this word in my heart for 45 years. Not while I wandered in the wilderness. I knew where I was going. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Other versions say they walked in the wilderness. It's not a good translation. They wandered aimlessly in the wilderness until they died. Caleb said, I never wandered. God had given me a promise. And that's what I'm coming to. He's given me a promise. So 45 years, while they wandered in the wilderness, wasted and squandered their life, I'm waiting for this day. So he says, while they wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm just as strong today. And this is my point. Some of us, you know, can see the finish line out there. Now is when we pick up the pace. You know, now we can pick up the pace. We maybe got 20 years left, 10 years. I tell you what, our picture is going to look different in 15 years than it does today. But he said, I want to press to the finish line. I'm as strong as today as I ever was, because the Lord is the same. Though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. I am as strong today as I was then. And this is what he says. Give me this mountain. And I want the mountain. We need the mountain of God in our lives. We should never give up pressing on for Jesus, no matter of our age. In one sense, it's easier for us than it was for the younger group, because we see the finish line. We know the folly of the things of this world. We know money doesn't satisfy. We know, you know, when our children are old, maybe we're empty nesters. Now is the time to sell out for Jesus. Give me this mountain. Let that be the cry and the burden of all of our hearts. Give me this mountain of God. Each of us, God has placed something before every single one of us. We want to live for it. We want to die for it and go out in a flame. And so, of course, the story goes on. We know the story. Caleb goes out and he says, the mountain's where the big guys are, but they're mine. And we know that he takes the mountain at 85 years of age. Give me this mountain. What a challenge for us. So here we are. You know, it's not right in one sense biblically to break the church up into segments, because the church is a section of all of us. But I thought this was proper. This is what was really on my heart this morning. And so we've got the young group who are commanded, the under 10-year-old, to come to Jesus who loves you. Come to him every night, every morning. Come to Jesus. He wants you to be there with him. He wants to take you up in his arms, and he wants to hold you. We have the group that's 18 and under, where what you have you think maybe isn't much, but what you have, it's all that you have. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Just surrender what you have to Jesus. He will take your life. He will take it up in His hands and He will bless it. He will bless you and He might bless thousands through those lives. Then we got the young, energetic, strong, maturing group. The third group where the command was to come and follow me. Sell all that you have. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. To not be tied up with the things of this world, but giving yourself to Christ. And then we have the ones that are heading to Wrinkle City. No, they're not. The last generation that we are want to be like Caleb, that we can see the finish line. Let's not stumble it. Let's press. And if we stumble, let's just get up right away. Let's not take a week to dust ourselves off. Let's get up right now and follow the Lord. And so together we have a church of all of us coming, surrendering, obeying, and charging, fighting on with Jesus. That's who we are together. So praise the Lord. And